As we come to look at this great passage, let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for John's gospel. And as we read it now, may you take these words inspired by your Spirit and open our hearts by your Spirit to hear what you are saying. And help me to speak faithfully in the power of your Spirit for your name's sake. Amen. We're doing a series on encounters with Jesus, and this is the beginning of the second series on that. We're looking at parts of John's Gospel where Jesus meets with different people. And today we have Jesus with his disciples, but particularly encountering Simon Peter. And it comes at a time where it says in beginning of Matthew 13, the hour has come. Jesus, throughout the Gospel, has been pointing to the hour, that moment when he is going to fulfill his ultimate mission. For Jesus, the hour was when he would die on the cross, when he'd rise again and ascend to be with God in heaven. It was the moment, the climax of what he'd come to do. And it was here, as we come to chapter 13 of John's Gospel, through to chapter 17, Jesus is with his disciples on the night before he dies on the cross. This is a crucial moment. And it's a tense moment. Below the surface, things are going on. We're told in verse 2 that the devil has prompted Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, to betray him to the authorities that are out to kill him. What is going to happen? What does Jesus want to do? How does he want to teach his disciples, prepare them for these great, momentous events? Well, Jesus begins by acting out a radical sign. He takes off his clothes, his outer garments. He puts a towel around him, takes a bowl of water, and begins to wash the disciples' feet one by one. Now, see how important, how significant this was. We need to remember the context of those days. When you travelled around, you would mainly go by foot. The roads would have been very dusty and dirty. There would be probably lots of animal manure and dung all over the place. You might come to a dinner party having washed and cleansed yourself, but by the time you get there, your feet would be really dirty and smelly. And so it was natural for people to provide the possibility of washing your feet. And yet the actual act of washing someone else's feet was seen as a very menial, a humiliating task. Many Jewish teachers said that you shouldn't, as a Jew, make even a Jewish slave wash your feet because it was too demeaning. And yet here is Jesus on his hands and knees, deliberately and profoundly taking on the role of the humblest of slaves towards his disciples. And one by one, he washes their feet. And when he comes to Simon Peter, one of his 12 disciples, actually the one who is possibly closest to Jesus, the one who was most outspoken, the kind of leader of the pack, Simon Peter says to him in dismay, "Are you going to wash my feet?" In the original language, the words "for you" and "my" are emphasized. Simon Peter is saying, "Look, Jesus, are you the one that I've come to realize is the Messiah, the King of the Jews, God's special anointed person, this most important person, the one who I've already said to you, you had the words of eternal life. You're so important, so amazing, so wonderful. Are you going to demean yourself and wash my feet?" For Simon Peter, this was outrageous. It was ridiculous. It seemed to be a denial of all that he thought that Jesus was, all who he thought that Jesus had come to be. What was Jesus doing? What was going on here? Let's go back to the beginning of chapter 13, because it tells us there in the first few verses, and they're a kind of introduction, not just to the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, but it's the whole of chapters 13 through to 20, where Jesus is talking to his disciples, preparing them for his death, and then being arrested and being crucified on the cross and then rising again. In a way, these first few verses are an introduction to all of that. And they say there, in the end of verse 1, it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, or he showed them the full extent of his love. He loved them completely. Both what Jesus was about to do on the cross and what Jesus was doing here in the foot washing was a demonstration to his followers of his love. But this wasn't just a sort of wishy-washy feeling. This wasn't a warm sentiment. This wasn't a, I quite like you, or I love hanging out with you. This love is a love that is an act of humble service. You see, I've already said that to wash someone's feet was only allowed of the most menial of slaves, and not even Jewish slaves if you're a Jew, and yet Jesus was taking on this humble task, literally lowering himself to the feet of the people that were his disciples to serve them by washing the muck, the dirt off their feet. And yet this was pointing to his greater act of humiliation. This was pointing to the cross. You see, the cross was an execution designed by the Romans, and it was designed to humiliate. They would take the victim and they would pin them to this wooden cross completely naked and display them in a public place for all to see. That they would be utterly humiliated. There they would stand before people, completely and utterly helpless, completely exposed to people's gaze, and dying a slow and torturous and painful and horrific death. Crucifixion was all about humiliation. And yet Jesus knew that this was how he was going to leave and go to his Father, through the cross, and then the resurrection, and then the ascension. Jesus was saying to his disciples as he washed their feet, I show my love by humbling myself to serve you. And just as if washing the feet actually did something for the disciples, gave them clean feet, so the cross is an act of service that does something for Jesus' followers. It does something for us. It cleanses us. It takes away our sin. Right back at the beginning of John's Gospel, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All that guilt that we hold for the things that we've done wrong, that stain on our souls because we turned against God, is washed away by Jesus' act of service, by his death on the cross. This is Jesus' love in its completeness. And this is how Jesus will cleanse us. To help the disciples understand what he's about to do by dying on the cross, he got down on his knees and he washed their feet. The cross was going to be an act of humble service. And this, we're told, is what Jesus knew he had to do. It says that in verse 1, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world. And in verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. But Simon Peter, he didn't really know, at least not yet. You see, in verse 7, Jesus says to him, You do not know now what I'm doing. But later, you will understand. Jesus is using this foot washing as a way of helping the disciples to come to knowledge, to come to understand what he was going to do by dying on the cross. And actually, in this discussion with Simon Peter about the foot washing, he clarifies what it means to believe in Jesus. And then he goes on to show that this is an example for his disciples to follow. The foot washing acts as a clarification of faith, an example to follow. So first of all, the clarification of faith. And the first thing we see here, and this is so crucial to see and so crucial to understand, is a lesson that Simon Peter learned the hard way, and it's this. If we're to be a part of Jesus, if we're to be one of his followers, if we're to know that gift of eternal life and to be a child of God, then we need to accept his service to us. Simon says, "Why are you going to wash my feet, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "You don't understand, but you will understand." And then Simon Peter responds emphatically, "You shall never wash my feet." For Simon Peter, it seems ridiculous that Jesus, as his Lord and Master, would wash his feet. It completely turns up the upside down the relationship. Simon Peter's meant to serve Jesus, not the other way around. Jesus is Lord. He's not his servant. Simon Peter seems clear of all that he's understood about Jesus in seeing the miracles, in seeing Jesus turn water into wine, in seeing him make a blind man see, a lame man walk, in making a dead man come to life again, in hearing Jesus preach and teach. Simon Peter knows that Jesus is this special person. Surely Simon Peter's role is to serve Jesus, not for it to be the other way around. And so he says, "You'll never wash my feet." And Jesus responds with the most clear and simple and concise challenge to all that Simon Peter was thinking. He says to him, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Do you hear how challenging those words are? Jesus was saying to Simon Peter, if you're not willing to let me serve you, then you can't belong to me. You can't be part of the kingdom of God. You can't be part of God's family. You can't have a place in eternal life. You'll lose the benefits of being called my disciple. You see, it may be that you think that your role is to serve God. You think that that's what puts you as part of God's people. That's what makes you belong to God. That you're good enough. You live a good enough life for him. That you're doing the religious activity. You're being kind to people. You're showing God's love. Maybe even washing their feet. Surely that's what makes you a Christian. Surely that's what makes you one of God's people. That's what secures your place in heaven. And Jesus will say to you, "No. Unless you let me serve you, you have no part with me." You see, if we think that we can do enough ourselves to help ourselves to serve God enough that we can be accepted, then we've completely missed the point. Jesus comes not to be served, but to serve. To give his life as a sacrifice, as a ransom for many. And the only way we can be a part of God's kingdom is if we let Jesus serve us. If we accept what he did for us is on the cross as necessary for our salvation. If we accept that it's nothing to do with what we do, but it's everything to do with what God has done for us. Unless we can accept Jesus' service, then we have no place in Jesus' kingdom. This really matters. Is that what your faith is about? Is it a trust in the cross? Or is it a desire to serve God yourself? But to give Simon Peter his credit, when he hears that this is what he needs to do to be a part of Jesus, he is enthusiastic to let Jesus do it. Why? Because ultimately, for Simon Peter, he wants nothing else but to cling to Jesus. So much so that when he realizes that his understanding is wrong, he will change it so that he can remain with Jesus. You see, Simon Peter has come to realize that nothing else matters but knowing Jesus. Back in John chapter 6, many people give up on following Jesus. They can't cope with his teaching, his understanding of what he's saying about himself, and many people leave. And Jesus turns to the 12 disciples and says to them, "Are you going to leave too?" And Simon Peter says, "Lord, where should we go? You have the words of eternal life." He knew that nothing else is worth having other than Jesus. And he clung to him. This is the heart of faith. This is what will get you through your false understandings, your false ideas about God and what it means to be a Christian. This will get it, what will get you through your failings to live out a Christian life. What will get you through in the end is a desire to cling to Jesus and to be part of him no matter what. That is the essence of faith. That is the heart of faith. And yet for so many people, their faith is so far from that. They may find that being a Christian now seems to give them comfort and peace. It seems a blessing in this moment of their lives, but they don't want to cling to Jesus. When other things come along, when life gets easier, or when things don't seem to fit with their understanding of Christianity, they give up on faith. They give up on Jesus. But true faith wants to cling to Jesus and say, "Look, Jesus, you're worth more than anything else. I want nothing to take me away from you." And when you cling to Jesus, Jesus will never let go of you. Judas Iscariot was there. His feet were washed too. But he stopped clinging to Jesus. He no longer wanted to follow Jesus. In fact, he was now being prompted by the enemy, by the devil. That's why Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Not everyone is clean." Judas wasn't clean. Not because he hadn't had his feet washed, but because he wasn't clinging to Jesus. If we want what Jesus has to give to us, then we must cling on to him and desire to have him more than anything else. And thirdly, and we need to embrace Jesus and not religion. You see, Simon Peter goes a bit over the top, doesn't he? He says, "Oh, if to be with you, I need to have my feet washed and wash my head and my hands as well." Jesus, that's sort of showing how much he wants to cling to Jesus. But Jesus gently responds by saying, "Look, you've no need to wash. Those who've had a bath only need to wash their feet. You are clean, but not all of you," referring to Judas. Simon Peter's clean because he's clinging to Jesus and because he's now come to accept that he needs Jesus' service. And you see, that's all we need. When we desire to be with Jesus for our lives and into eternity, when we accept that it's Jesus that serves us, not we that serve him, then that's all we need for salvation. That's all we need to be clean. That's all we need to be part of God's people. And if we're not confident about that, then part of the result of that might be that we start doing lots of religious things to try and give ourselves more confidence, more assurance that we are saved. And yet that's the wrong reason to do religious things. That's the wrong reason to do good things. If we're doing it to give ourselves more confidence, then we're putting our confidence in the wrong place. We're called to embrace Jesus, not religion. It's Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross is all that we need for salvation. And he's done it all. So ask yourself, am I doing lots of religious stuff just to ensure my place with Christ? If that's the case, then look again at Jesus. See what he really has done for you. And don't do the religious stuff to put yourself right with God, or to ensure you're right with God. Do it for better motives. And what is the better motive? Well, Jesus says that he's come to serve, to wash their feet. And part of the reason he's done that is to give them an example to follow. You see, Jesus is their Lord. Jesus is their master. Jesus is their teacher. And if he lowers himself to serve them, then they should do what he does. And actually, you see, sometimes we don't want to lower ourselves to serve other people because we think of ourselves as more important and we're worried about losing our status. We think if we serve others humbly, we might demean ourselves and put ourselves down. Well, if Jesus serves others then in that way, then that's rubbish. It's a nonsense. He's shown us that. And if we're worried that we might look bad and we're worried about that kind of thing, well, why are we worried about our status, our reputation with other people, when actually we're secure in God because of what Jesus has done for us? It says back in verses 1 and 3 that the reason Jesus was able to serve humbly was because he knew who he was. He knew he was from God, and he knew where he was going. He knew he was going back to the Father. And so secure in that truth and that knowledge, he was able to humbly serve. And the more secure in your knowledge of who God is and what he's done for you, and that through his love, you can never be separated from God, then the more able you'll be able to take risks, to step out, to show that humble service to others. So as we reflect on what Jesus has done for us, let's think about how we can serve one another, how we can humble ourselves to care for them, to look out for them, not standing up for our own rights, not standing up for our own privileges, not standing up for our own status, but seeking the good of others. Will we do that? At this stage, Simon Peter didn't really understand, but he would do. After Jesus had died and come back to life and met with Simon Peter again. And so he would live a life following Jesus' example, trusting in what Jesus had done in serving him and carrying on clinging to Jesus, his precious Lord. Will we do the same? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this truth. We pray that you would help us to learn the lessons of Jesus' service, his humble service on the cross. Help us to accept that we need him to serve us through that death. Help us to cling to him and to embrace him, not religious activity. And help us to learn from his example that we too may humbly serve others. Amen.